right, councillors? I'll declare April's council meeting open. On behalf of council, I would like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on the traditional lands of the Noongar people and pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. I wish to acknowledge and respect local people's continuing culture and the contribution they make to country and its life. The recording of the proceedings. In accordance with Regulation 14L, Local Government Administration Regulations, this meeting is being recorded and recordings will be available on the Shire's website. Being present at this meeting, members of public consent to the possibility that their voice will be recorded. We're all here and there are no apologies and no leave of absence. Use of the common seal, there were none. Delegated authority actions performed are there for noting. Response to previous public questions taken on notice. Wendy, you got a letter from us or from Gary?
Oh, I've certainly got emails.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually received an email question regarding that specific matter from Peter Harbin.
Yep.
We can address that later.
Yep. Okay, public question time. So we have received some questions in advance, so we'll deal with those first.
Yep.
Do you want to read them out and answer them?
So a question from Ms. Peter Harbin, and she's asked why aren't all questions asked in public question time answered in the following month's meeting and agenda/minutes? They are answered directly by the CEO via email or phone to the person asking the question. Are these public questions, should the public also not be aware of the Shire's response to the public to the question? And an example of that was the question that Ms. Wendy Rose asked at the Shire of Brookton regarding the lack of road access to the blocks behind King Street and White Street. And Mr. Gary Sherry, the CEO, explained that the answer may be complex and required investigation within the Department of Lands regarding the status of the land that may arise, the status of the land that may access those blocks. And the minutes read, Mr. Sherry took that question on notice and will respond to Ms. Rose directly. So since that, in response, I have communicated with Ms. Rose directly on several occasions, and certainly the failure to include that information in the current agenda/minutes is an oversight on my behalf. For those who are following the matter, there's an unnamed right-of-way from King Street to Halls Road that does indeed provide public access to the two blocks that Wendy identified. And actually, the officer's report, there is an officer's report at 12.04.25.01 tonight where the future road name register, where the officer is seeking council authority to name this right of way in line with Ms. Rose's request. So that was that one. Then I've been asked around the increased rates recovery costs. And again, Ms. Peter Harbin has asked, why are debt recovery fees so high this financial year? And she cites an example from the March 25 minutes of a payment to AMPAC Debt Recovery, who are council's debt recovery contractors, of $9,433.54. Ms. Harbin asked, do any of the above fees relate to 42 Leonard Street? And if so, how much? So within that EFT that she identified of $9,433, $7,970 of that related to 42 Leonard Street. Further, I can say that council originally budgeted $12,100 for rates debt recovery, and this was increased at budget review time to $17,000. To date, council has expended $32,785, and last year the Shire expended $15,847 on rates debt recovery. The debt recovery fee or payments this year are higher because the Shire is completing a very complex recovery at 42 Leonard Street. And this financial year, we have expended $24,254 on that exercise. alone. So by and large, that is the significant factor in the increased debt recovery fees. Everything, all of the other fees are actually within budget.
Can I ask a follow-up question on that?
Yep.
If things proceed to the full extent of the process we're in with 42 Lennon Street, mm-hmm. and the sale of the property happens when the Shire maintains the value of the rates that are required to recover, does that also include the cost of the debt recovery company?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So that would cover also their services as well?
Yes. There's also the potential for council to recover other things such as bushfire infringements or fire infringements on a property.
Yeah.
And we're certainly doing that for another property in Brookton, which has essentially been abandoned, where we'll wait till that property is sold before we recover the cost of the bushfire or fire risk reduction activities we're doing. Also got a question from Ms. Harbin again about the rates recovery process and specifically 42 Lennon Street. And she identifies some advertising for the auction at 42 Lennon Street, which is no longer happening. Can you explain the process, explain the reason why the auction is not proceeding? And if the auction is not proceeding due to Shire incorrect processes, what process changes have been put in place to prevent further instances such as this from happening in the future? In reply, as was published in the, as still published on the Shire of Brookton website on the 26th of February, the Shire of Brookton is completing this process to recover the unpaid rates for several years. Under section 6.64 of the Local Government Act, after a property's rates and charges remain unpaid after 3 years, a local government may complete the defined process to sell the property to recover the unpaid rates and charges. After going through that process and taking control of the Lennon Street property in February, the Shire of Brookton, we became aware at that time of the quantity of other goods that are stored on that site. Normally in a sale or this type of action, there's only ever a few household goods inside the property. However, in this case, there is a very, very large quantity of goods and items, some that we believe have considerable value. These goods are not under the control of the Shire and must be removed from the Lennon Street property for any auction to proceed. We are now proceeding with a legal process under the Disposal of Uncollected Goods Act, where we will eventually provide a period of notice to the owner to come and collect the goods. And we'll make that application, and if that doesn't happen, we will make an application for a court order to dispose of the goods if they do not take them. The delay in auction will require the Shire of Brookton to repeat some steps of the legal process to sell the property, and that could take us an extra 3 months following the solving the issue of the disposal of uncollected goods. We will continue to advertise any future property auction widely when legal permission is granted and a new auction date can be set. And I must stress that while the Shire of Brookton is following this legal process, at any time prior to any future property auction, the property owner can make payment on his outstanding rates, stop the sale process and resume the control of the property at any time. Another question from Ms. Harbin: how much has the Lennon Street property debt increased due to charges such as debt collection, auction, and advertising? So, in the 7 years since the 1st of July 2018, the Shire of Brookton has charged to this property normal rates and charges of $21,565. We've charged penalty interest on unpaid rates of $5,567. And we've had imposed spent legal fees and debt recovery charges totaling $34,101. And since the 1st of July 2018, we have received payment from the property owner of $4,112.
Is there anything, any other?
No.
No, that's it. Does anyone else have any questions they wish to ask of council? Applications of leave of absence, does anyone wish to make any? Keep moving along. Petitions, deputations and presentations. Does anyone have anything they wish to say to council at this point? No? We'll keep moving on. Confirmations of the previous minutes. So we've got the ordinary council meeting from the 20th of March. Can I get a move and a second? Move, Councillor Bell. Second to Councillor McCabe. All those in favour? Karen, 6-0. The Bushfire Advisory Committee meeting minutes from the 25th of March. Can I get a move and a second that they be received, please? Move, Councillor DeLonger. Second to Councillor McCabe. All those in favour? Carried, 6-0. Announcements by the presiding member without discussion. Given the resignation of Murray Hall as our Chief Bushfire Control Officer, I would like to publicly thank Murray for the outstanding work he has done over the last, what did we work out, 13 years. His commitment to our community as Chief has been nothing short of outstanding. And so on behalf of Community and Council, I'd like to thank him for his service. Declarations of interests. Anyone have any today?
No.
Future road name register. We have an officer's recommendation that the register be established and that we submit some names to Landgate. Can I get a move and a second for that, please? Move to Councillor Cocking, seconded Councillor Bell. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried, 6-0. Did you get that, Jen?
Sorry.
That's right. Ms. Karen.
We're all right.
1404 2501 budget amendment CCTV for the administration office. Councillors, I do have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a move and a second, please? Move, Councillor Bell. Second to Councillor Wallace. Does anyone wish to speak against? Anyone got any questions? All those in favour? Carried. 6-0. The sewerage back rates for 24 Richardson Street, Brookton. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a move and a second, please? Move, Councillor Bell. Second, Councillor DeLonger. Anyone have any questions?
Yes.
Councillor Bell.
Once this is done, then the property is then rated at the usual rate, or whatever the town rate is.
Yeah, that's correct. So from the 24-25 financial year, they will be rated, the residential sewerage rate.
Sorry, supplementary question. Are there other properties that may be in this predicament?
No, so we did conduct an internal audit and there was only the one property that was identified that had the sewerage line passing their property that weren't currently being charged sewerage rate. So we have implemented now going forward that annually we will do an internal audit to check those connections or check with properties that have sewerage passing their property. So they don't necessarily need to be connected to the system to be charged rates. It just needs to be passing the property. So going forward, unless we put additional lines in or housing properties that go from vacant land to residential, that would be the only time. So we will still conduct an internal audit but it's unlikely going forward, but that's the process we'll put in place.
Thank you.
There was another property that was situated next to the sewerage that didn't have a sewerage charge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, I understand.
There was. I would need to check the note on that. I'm not from, like, I can't remember what that was, but I'm happy to look at that.
My understanding was that the height of the way it was explained to me was the height of the sewerage at that point wouldn't have allowed the property owner to actually connect to the sewerage.
Yeah.
So at some previous time, council has authorised that property not be charged the sewerage rates.
Okay. Councillor Copping, just for the record, Councillor Copping's just left the room.
Dan, you mentioned that if it's a vacant block, they're not charged. They are charged.
Yes, they are charged. If the line goes past their property, it is charged.
No house on there at all.
That's correct, yeah. So that there's different rates, sewage rates. So there's vacant land, there's residential, there's commercial. So there's lots of different ones. But if there was to be a residence built on a vacant land, then we would need to change that from a vacant land sewage rate to a residential sewage rate. And that those sorts of things would be picked up as part of the audit if they weren't at the time of the property being signed off.
Councillor Copping is back for the record. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. 6-0. 14.4.2503, fee reduction for wheat belt strengthening and conditioning. Councillors, I do have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Moved Councillor Bell. Seconded Councillor McCabe. Does anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Karen, 6-0. Uh, 14.04.2504, budget amendment pump failure at the sediment pond. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor Copping. Seconded Councillor Delaney. Does anyone have any questions on this? Nope. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried. 6-0.
Can I just add a little bit further information?
Yeah.
The Department of Water and Environment Regulation, who license our sewage treatment system, inspected that they were on site today and conducted an inspection, and we have a couple of minor works that need to, mostly relating to vegetation on the site, that we'll need to implement to meet the conditions of our licence.
Okay. But other than that, we're all good.
Other than that, we're all good.
Excellent.
Would that be able to be achieved with current available labour force?
Yep. Because it will involve spraying the vegetation that is close to the dam wall or on the dam wall, on the pond wall.
Kevin, you've got a comment.
Yes, with regards to the vegetation, it has been sprayed. It is in the process of dying. We need to get in there once it's a little bit further down and we can clean it up.
Okay.
Is that going to be an ongoing thing of them?
Yeah.
Thank you. We voted, yeah? Just to check it. 14.04.2505, list of payments for March. Can I get a mover and a seconder for the officer's recommendation? Move to Councillor Bell. Seconded Councillor McKay. Has anyone got any questions on any of those? Councillor Bell?
Just in the, as it's printed at the moment, the fees for the exercise people are in there. That'll be, I guess that will be changed when it's actually done.
No, that's a payment.
So the payment to wheat belt strength and conditioning is for the classes that council fully funded. So that's currently the business owner or one of the interested parties are looking at continuing that as a private business, and that was the fee reduction that they were requesting.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Anyone got any other questions?
Just for clarification, there's grant funding with that, wasn't there?
Not with the exercise, no. So that was fully funded by council. So we had adopted a $5,000 amount as part of the annual budget.
Councillor Bell?
Sorry, just some questions on the EFT stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't quite understand.
Can you read out the number?
1659.
Yep.
The penetration kit, that's a good purchase, I must put the price of those things, and you've done well there, but why are we purchasing that? What's it for?
You're
going to
answer, or is Kevin answering?
Oh, Kevin's answering that line.
The Perth penetrometer was purchased primarily for the bonding that was built down at the effluent pond. As part of the application that we did to where we needed to produce a Perth penetrometer test results on the bonding for the desludging of the effluent pond. Further to that, that Perth penetrometer can be used on the majority of our road construction going forward if needed.
No, I was just surprised by the price because you've done well there.
Thank you.
And 16601. BSL payment. Sorry, I'm not familiar with what BSL means.
So that's building services levy. So it's when there's applications made through council. There's a percentage that needs to be forwarded to the building services levy for the building services levy.
So that government takes its share.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And just one last little silly one. Mm-hmm. 16611. Rural UV chargeable schedule. I have absolutely no idea what that jargon means.
Yeah, so that's from Landgate. So that's a rural UV, which is from the valuer general who provides the value of property. So there's just been a change in one of the schedule, so we get the rolls either annually or annually for the UVs, and there's been some changes to that. So generally that occurs when there's been either subdivision or amalgamations of rural properties, and then there's a change in the value of the property and we have to amend our rate records accordingly and do interim rates.
Thank you, that's very clear. I'll try and remember in future.
No, that's fine, Harold.
Thank you.
How much? So that's the rural UV schedule for an interim rate. How much do we have to pay for our GRV?
Yeah, so that's quite substantial. I think it's around 12,000 to 13,000, and we're due this year, so we have an evaluation from the 1st of July.
Yep. And that's only every 5, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. This one is 6 years. Depending, they do it 5 to 6 years. So
this is the first one since COVID
as well.
Well, they didn't do any valuations during COVID, so everybody went out of here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All those in favour? Carried. 6-0. 14042506, statement of financial activity for the period ending 31st of March. We have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a move and a second, please? Moved, Councillor Bell. Second, Councillor Delano. Go for it, Dan.
Thank you. So I just wanted to give a bit of a verbal report on that. So we are currently tracking reasonably well. We have a surplus of 2.7 million at the 31st of March. The main variances relate to over and under budget items in regards to our operating activities and our investing activities. So our operating activities really relate to revenue, where we're down on the fire mitigation works, but that also reflects also in the expenditure. We have increased revenue for our caravan park, the standpipe, and also for staff housing. And then we also have a 30% increase in revenue from the Dr. Fowler funding, so we were able to put an advance payment in for that. Expenditure was down, again, on the Dr. Fowler fire mitigation, our street lighting, and that the street lighting is just due to timing. But also we're down on expenditure in regards to our sewerage incentive program this year and also our community chest. has been under as well. Several capital projects are yet to be commenced or are in the early stages. And so that also reflects in our investing area around our capital grants and our recognition on those. And we're just, under on our buildings, which relates to our hall and mainly our hall and the railway station, our sewage projects and our road projects. So they're in full steam ahead with the road projects, but some of those other projects are still to come before 30th of June. On page 42, the Statement of Financial Activity shows the deficit budget of $11,749, and that relates to the unbudgeted expenditure that went to the March Ordinary Council meeting, but we now have found those savings and that agenda item has come to nod, and so that next month will show as a balanced budget going forward. So we'll finish off the year as a balanced budget for 24-25. So if there's any further questions from elected members, I'm happy to take them on the recording.
I've got one. Do we have to do a budget amendment in May for the 50% of the audit fees that the OAG has told us we now have to pay?
No, so we will be able to accommodate that in our current budget. So we did budget more than what was expected in our original audit fees. Yep. So there has been savings there. Okay. So we will be able to accommodate that in the current budget.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those savings on audit fees, that's because we produced statements and financial records that were in extremely good order?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So really less work for the auditors to do, so everything's presented in a manner that they can just conduct the audit without,
So they predict that we'll have to pay $40,000 and we're not? Is that what you're telling me the OAG's not even asking for what they're quoting?
Well, they tell us that they cost recovery, so...
Yeah.
For last year's audit, they told us that it was going to be $40,000 because that's what they thought it was.
Yeah.
But Deanne and the finance staff did better.
Yeah.
So on full cost recovery, we were better than average. Okay. So we were better than what they expected.
Yeah. And we do.
So we saved money.
Yeah, and as part of those audit fees, there are other audits that they conduct for us as well, so particularly in regards to our grant funding, and that sort of fluctuates as well. So we do the best assumption at the time of budgeting for loans.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thank you.
Have we had any uptake since the increased value on pumping people's septics has gone up?
So we haven't had any additional to date. So we have gone back out advertising to increase the value from 200 to 400 for pump outs, and we have reimbursed the applicants we had previously the additional $200, and we're advertising that. So that's gone on the Telegraph as well as social media. But as far as I'm aware, to date we haven't received any additional claims.
Thank you. Any other questions? All those in favour? Carried 6-0. Governance reports. 1504, 2501. The West Australian Electoral Commission conduct of the ordinary election on Saturday, October 18, 2025. Councillors, we have we've got two officers' recommendations, so we'll deal with them as we go. So the first officer's recommendation is that Council declare in accordance with section 4.204 of the Local Government Act 1995 that the West Australian Electoral Commission to be responsible for the conduct of the ordinary election to be held on Saturday the 18th of October. Can I get a move and a second for that, please? Moved Councillor Bell, seconded Councillor Copping. I wasn't sure if you did, thank you. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried 6-0. So the second officer's recommendation following on from that is that Council decide in accordance with section 4.612 of the Local Government Act 1995 that the method of conducting the ordinary election to be held on Saturday the 18th of October 2025 will be as a postal election. Can I get a mover and a seconder for that, please? Move to Councillor Wallace, seconded Councillor McKay. Anyone wish to speak against? All those in favour? Carried, 6-0.
Just a question.
Yes.
I understand that the second officer's recommendation is something that we have a little bit of ability to have other options, but the officer's first recommendation, I'm just questioning why we actually need to have a council motion on that. Like, isn't that a...
No, we can do it ourselves.
The WA Electoral Commissioner has asked that councils, and we do it as well as everyone else, provide those specific resolutions or decisions. Yeah, they require that, and they gave us the wording.
What are our other options then?
We could run the election ourselves.
Excuse me.
And which means we couldn't do it as a postal voting election. We can hold a voting in-person election, and you'll need to appoint a council would appoint a returning officer. And if you don't, under the Local Government Act, I'm the returning officer, and we could conduct it as a voting in-person election.
Yeah, interesting. It's just a more point of interest.
Yep, that's fine. We could probably do it cheaper. As
it depends on the value on your time if you're the person that's going to be the
And it also depends on how you. It also depends on how you see the risk that may arise from doing that as well.
Yeah. For the record, Councillor Bell has left the room. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
We'll keep moving along. 15.04.25.02, appointment of fire control. 25.26. Councillors. We do have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder for that, please? Move Councillor McCabe. Seconded.
Question around this?
Hang on. Thanks, Councillor DeLonghi. Questions, Councillor McCabe?
During the meeting, there was a little bit of confusion about what Anton's future desire for involvement in the fire brigade was. In what capacity, and maybe it's a question that Councillor DeLong can provide for us. If not, then whether anyone else has followed up on that to understand what his desired input in, whether it's to still be a captain or whether it's to be just a volunteer.
So just for your information, there was some confusion around the clarity on what Anton's role would be. So we understood he wasn't going to be captain of central, but did that mean that he was no longer an FCO as well? Like, that's what the
query was.
My understanding is that he has handed everything to Blair Montague.
Yep.
As
captain, yes.
Yeah, as captain. I don't know if he's still issuing permits. No one has contacted him regarding them.
Yep.
He was still happy to be involved as a volunteer.
Yep.
Subject to receiving his PPE.
Okay. All right. Do we put him on?
That doesn't sound like he's wanting to be an FCO. That sounds like he wants to maintain being a volunteer and involvement in it, but not...
Yeah, but I can't
speak for him.
Speak for him, so because I'm not 100% sure.
This is not...
the position of captain, because he couldn't commit to that. Because of our change.
There's no harm putting him in, because we're going to have to revisit this when the policy comes through for staff being FCO, so we're going to have at least another one, and then as we go through more FCO training over the coming months, there are going to be more FCOs come on. So if council's comfortable, because Anton is qualified as an FCO, if council's comfortable still appointing him as FCO, we can then follow up personally with Anton around whether his desire to continue in that role is there or not, or whether he just wants to be a volunteer for Central Brigade or Eastern Mowbray Volunteers. Is that,
Are
you happy with that?
Yeah.
That will work? Okay. You've got some...
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure everybody was fully aware that it's only those... The officer's recommendation only includes those people who the Shire knows, can prove, has evidence of, the officer completing the fire control officer's training. We held a fire control officer's training
Wednesday last week,
and we had a number of people who went through, and my goal, my aim, is to have a number of those courses this year to make sure that we have those people who are who want to be FCOs, who are they are qualified. And I also understand there's a number of people who have done the course some time ago who are keen to do the course again, given the amount of change that there's been in the fire space in the last 10 years or so. So, yeah, we're keen to make that happen where it is, okay. Where we can.
Councillor Dunham?
Just one more question, just with regards to some of the FCOs who were deemed as unsuitable or unfit because they didn't have the training. Without mentioning names, but I think there's a couple of people that weren't approached about the training opportunity last week, so they're just a little bit disappointed with regards to that.
Are they not in all the WhatsApp groups for their brigades? Because it was well okay, advertised.
Well, I'm not part of the WhatsApp, so I don't know what was posted there.
It was.
I'm
just going, it was.
I would disagree with the well advertised okay. aspect. The message that Jason put on there was that it had a potential to go ahead with.
Yeah.
But there was no follow-up after that.
And in some defence of Jason, he wasn't aware of whether the course was going ahead until way less than a week before the course.
Yeah, and I think that he also went on leave because I asked him when time had started and I didn't get a response.
No.
Yeah. So that's fine, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he is on leave at the minute. So
yeah, like that's fine for my regard, but as far as other people trying to understand whether it's actually on or not, whether those people could have even attempted to call Jason and not got through.
Can you just provide Gary with those names afterwards, please?
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, it's brought up about the town planning requirements for different businesses to be operating through a harvest vehicle moving brand, and I understand that we've got essentially 6 months to figure it out, but just wanting to know that there is a plan in place to go through all that and get it sorted before next fire season.
There's a slight little difference there in between under our town planning processes that have existed for some considerable time, and I had a discussion around that process with someone this week, we should have fire management plans that were approved by council when planning approval was given to those larger rural-based businesses. And I'm thinking here of Belco, Hay Australia, and also the Olive Farm and Nutridge. We have tried to find those plans in our record system and we cannot. So for our town planning purposes, we need to re-establish contact with those businesses and put in place a fire management plan that meets their planning approval. And essentially the normal condition is that you present a fire management plan that is approved by council. Now, and there's discussion and negotiation on what that looks like, and normally, certainly, fire control officers would get involved or support with council in establishing what their requirements are. And then separately, during the restricted period and certainly during total fire ban days, there are what exactly is restricted and what exactly is permitted is a matter of discussion. In discussions with local businesses who work in various shires, the rules around what you can do in a harvest ban and what you can do on a total fire ban day are different in between different shires, and we need to clearly establish what is permitted during a harvest ban and what is not.
The known steps are that we need to find out the plan from these businesses, given that both the Shire and those businesses might take some time in accomplishing that task, would it be prudent to ask the businesses sooner than later to at least kick the ball into their court to provide that information?
But that again is slightly different to our town planning scheme. So what Belco or some other business what they do during, or what they're permitted to do during a harvest ban needs to be clearly spelled out so that we can inform everybody.
So their fire plan and what they can do are slightly different
things.
And so we have to deal with both, I think is what Gary's trying to say. But they're all actions out of the VFAT minutes that staff will have to progress.
Because there will be businesses that don't have a planning approval that will want to conduct or may wish to conduct operations on during a harvest ban or a total 5-hour day, and we need to clarify what they are. Because certainly, I've got myself into trouble with our Chief Bushfire Control Officer in the past by suggesting what might be a suitable action from a different shire that wasn't acceptable to the fire control officers in the shire.
If there are no further questions, all those in favour? No. Carried. 1504-2503, the postponing of an extraordinary election. So, councillors, I do have an officer's recommendation. Can I get a mover and a seconder, please? Move Councillor Delano. Seconder Councillor Wallace. Anyone wish to speak against? Nope. All those in favour? Carried. 6-0. 1504-2504, the Brookton Railway Station Committee. Councillors, I'd like to propose an alternate motion. Can you pull it up for me, please, Jen? Any remarks? Hopefully. If not, I have to read it out.
That should have already come through. You sent it out, didn't you?
I did send it at the start, yep.
You may need to read it out.
There it is. Okay, so the motion that I would like to move is that Council 1 reaffirms that the decision of the special electors meeting held on the 9th of March 2024 that indicates that a majority of the Brookton community wishes to retain the Brookton Railway Station. 2, that we reaffirm Council's commitment to retaining the Brookton Railway Station. 3, that we not proceed with the Brookton Railway Station Committee at this time. And 4, we direct staff to complete the refurbishment of the Brookton Railway Station by constructing all stages concurrently, utilising the scope of works from tender RFT 0723. And Council continues to engage and communicate with the community of Brookton on the progress of this project, including further, if any, stages of the railway precinct activation and integration. I'd like to move that. Do I have a seconder?
Yep.
Thanks, Councillor Copping. Before I ask if anyone wants to speak against that, I'd just like to talk to the motion. And firstly, it is my belief that the broad community of Brookton support this project and they just want us to get on with it as swiftly as possible. The special electors meeting voted for an independently chaired committee, but the community failed to get behind the formation of that committee. And by the close of nominations, we had received just 4. And the rest came after, and some came a considerable time after closing. I don't believe that the door should be closed on community engagement in this project, remembering that this is the beginning of a wider project that I hope will make better use of the railway precinct and the connection of the west side of the railway line to the east side. And at some point in the future, Council may see fit to re-engage those nominees for the Railway Station Committee and possibly seek others to establish that committee when it sees value in doing so. Does anyone wish to speak against? Oh, Councillor Copping, did you want to speak for? You get.
No, I just want to sort of agree with what you've said. I think the community had their meeting and their views were pretty plain. They also had the opportunity to present people for a committee and it didn't happen. So I think it's time that we just got on with it.
Yeah. Councillor, sorry, just a question.
Yep.
through the chair, Gary, based on this new motion presented by Katrina, would myself and Rod have to declare an interest because obviously he's a business in proximity.
And I'm moving that they that we get on with it.
I would suggest you probably should declare an interest and leave.
Yep. Thank you. Sorry.
Yep. How would this changed?
And it has to be an absolute majority.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep. It is budgeted.
It doesn't need to be an absolute majority unless you. It needs to be an absolute majority to form a committee.
Yep.
And if you're not forming a committee, you don't need an absolute majority, but you have one anyway.
Yep.
Well, given that all councillors vote together.
Yep. Well, that's fine. Does anyone wish to speak against?
I've just got a question. You spoke a little bit around your point five. Do you mind just expanding a little bit more on how the community engagement could look?
I think we need to be continually informing the community on where we're at with the project on a really regular basis. That may include signage at the front of the railway station, it may include letter drops, but it also may, at the completion of the building, it may then be some sort of a workshop to talk about what the precinct may look like or what the activation may look like. I don't want to close that door. I want to leave it really open because I think that there is a role for the community to continue to play in that space so that that whole precinct gets activated.
Sorry, can I just add? So there was an original budget of $1.8 million for the railway station. So 1.5 of that was coming from our Innovation and Development Reserve. $40,000 was the Wheatbelt Development Court, the election promise.
Yeah.
And then $255,000 was from LRCI Phase 4, but at budget review, that $255,000 was removed and allocated to other projects because they had to be spent by the 30th of June.
Yeah.
So it will be dependent on the tender amount, but that's unlikely.
And other grant funding that we choose, still the Labor Party 200.
That's right. So that will pick that up.
So and their position should still be the same in round about the same in theory.
Right. Yeah.
Is my understanding.
Yeah. Okay.
We haven't had formal confirmation on that 200.
No.
Okay. But so I follow that up.
Was that the last number that was?
Yes.
That?
Yes. So right. 40 plus 200. So 240 all up. So 40 from 2021, 200 from this election cycle. If there are no further questions,
go for it. I just wanted to make a comment on this position or on this matter, I suppose. And I do highlight it through the officer's report, but I just want to reinforce it. So I am really confident in the ability of the Shire. Of Shire staff of the Shire to deliver on the tender and the construction. That's not an issue. There is some risk there because we're dealing with an old building. We don't know what the tender's going to be. So, yeah, there's some risk. But I just see the significant risk associated with this project now is around reputational risk and the potential for substantial community concern over whatever the Shire does. And we've already had substantial media and political attention and the likelihood of that happening again is extremely high. I reckon we had 90 people turning up to a special electors meeting with others on Facebook. We've had issues. We've had 143 electors sign a request to hold a special meeting. We've had lots of community comment here that has the potential. The potential for that to happen again is high, and I just caution moving away from the recommendation of that special electors meeting. And I'm not certain that forming that committee and getting them to act quickly, and I think members of the committee have the same feeling as council. They are members of the community and they want that project to commence and commence quickly. Just the establishment of that committee just reduces council's risk and the potential risk, future risk, of community disruption.
Yep. Yep. I don't necessarily disagree with you on any of your points, but I think overwhelmingly the community just wants us to get on with it, and if at some point in the future council wants to form that committee, the door is open for them to do so. All those in favour? Again, all those in favour? Carried, 4-0. Thank you. Kevin, can you bring them back in, please? Thank you. Now, thanks, Councillor Wallace. Councillor DeLonghi, it was passed 4-0. Council has chosen not to go with the officer's recommendation because Council is of the opinion that the majority of Brookton residents have had enough of the delays of this project and want to see Council proceed to tender as quickly as is possible. There being no further business of the meeting, I will declare the meeting closed at 6:50 and thank everyone for their attendance.